For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my counterpart, Joe DeLeon. Good evening, good sir.
Blake, we've got ourselves another off-season bombshell. Who would have thought that Jaden Rashada, this whole situation, would continue on? I thought we were done. Who would have thought that this would have gotten even more obnoxious and dramatic? I say that a little bit sarcastically, of course.
Okay. I thought you weren't being sarcastic because you know what I did today? I was working out, by the way, 37 pounds down. You boy, 37 pounds down. Yes.
Okay.
I went back and listened to our Jaden Rashada segment when it came out that, a while back. And it was interesting. At around a minute and a half, then around 2 minutes and 57 seconds, it's not like anybody's counting or anything, somebody with a really luscious, beautiful black beard.
Must have been me.
Oh, you don't have a beard. Came out and said, I would donate $1,000 to anybody's charity of choice if Jaden Rashada doesn't sue Billy Napier. And yet, here we are.
Did you actually say that?
I didn't say Billy Napier, but I did say that he's going to bring a lawsuit. Like, he was setting himself up for a lawsuit, and then, here we are. I didn't name Billy Napier, but here we are.
Okay.
So, obviously, we're going to talk about the Jaden Rashada stuff, and I will say all of these things that he's put in his lawsuit are alleged.
But yes.
We will talk about the alleged things that he has said.
That is always key when we talk about this stuff, and we always do a pretty good job about it, of repeatedly saying alleged. It is a lawsuit coming from Rashada towards the University of Florida.
It's not the University of Florida.
Sorry, Billy Napier and the Gator, whichever Gator collective it is that he's directing it towards. But despite it being alleged, though, what was brought up in the lawsuit is very damning. It's very, very damning. I don't know how much Billy is necessarily responsible and how much it's more so those that were involved with the collectives. But Florida's been doing some grimy stuff with their collectives. This isn't the only incident. What happened with Gervion Dexter was something that was very lightly reported on, not covered highly at all, where he had signed a deal that guaranteed he had to give part of his NFL contract to the collective. So all this that's been going on, it's interesting to see kind of what comes to fruition. And if this lawsuit does find them, liable for what's being claimed.
I think the thing that we'll probably talk about most is this, the nail in the walking and the dead man walking coffin of Billy Napier. I do think that it possibly is. But here is the ultimate thing that I'm going to lead off with today. Has there ever been more of a troll job than what has been done, what Kirby Smart has done to his bitter rival in the University of Florida by taking a quarterback who is now suing a head coach in the SEC that is his bitter rival? Another scenario in college football where a coach has done and pulled off what Kirby has pulled off.
I was texting with somebody earlier when this dropped, and they'd said to me, they hadn't read the article or any of the articles that come out on it yet, and they'd said, oh, I'm sure that Georgia's really not thrilled with this. And I said, no, read the article. It says he gave him his blessing. Why wouldn't they like this? It's a heated rivalry.
Here's the truth, too. That conversation is had with a guy like Kirby before he commits.
Yes.
Right? Georgia. And here's the truth. Georgia might have been the only place that can sustain him going through something like that and it not affecting everything else. If he does that at Arizona State, I don't know if Kenny Dillingham is – I'm not going to say – good enough or good enough coach. It's not Georgia.
Right.
Right. Look, Georgia is sustained. And look, we didn't even mention the other night that a Georgia player got arrested for reckless driving for accidentally going down a one-way. By the way, Joe, I have over a decade's worth of experience in law with law enforcement and all this kinds of stuff. Lawsuits and how they're brought. I have fought against these things almost my entire career. Going down a one-way and arresting somebody for it might be, and I'm being honest, the dumbest thing that I've ever heard in my life.
Well, I texted you this on Sunday. I didn't read the full story that happened with the Georgia player, but I literally did the same exact thing, I think, when I was his
age. I wish you would have been arrested.
But I wasn't. Now, five cop cars did pull up when I did this. I was racing a friend like an idiot, pulled into a one-way that led into our.
So you were doing worse than what the Georgia player.
Oh, yeah, was. and I didn't get arrested. So that's why there is certainly ridiculousness to this player getting arrested. It's God, dude. The on-campus police and the police in the area must just hate these kids. Like, well, I don't know what it is.
Well, here's the thing, and I'm about to make a very controversial statement. It continues to go down the line of a young black man being arrested for something that he should not have been arrested for.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that might be controversial. You can hate me for it. I really wish you would come to my face and tell me that you hate it, because nobody wants to have that conversation to your face.
No.
All right, not the only thing that we're getting into today. Also, we'll dive into Penn State. Joe, interesting thought. Name the four quarterbacks in college football last year that had over 300 passing attempts and less than five interceptions. Go.
Drew Allar.
Okay. So you obviously did your homework, because we're doing.
Well, I mean, it's kind of obvious. It's kind of. Wait, how many quarterbacks? You said four?
Yeah, it was four quarterbacks last year.
J.J. McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy.
Who else would it? Big schools?
Very big schools. Very big quarterbacks.
Jaden Daniels. Definitely not Drake May.
Was not Drake May.
Bo Nix.
One, we're actually, it's kind of funny because we just got talking about that school just literally a second ago.
Was it the pig farmer?
No.
How is it Cam Rising?
I just literally told you it was Florida.
Oh, Graham Mertz. God.
Gross. Yeah, how about that? So you have four quarterbacks. You want to name the other?
So the fifth one was Drew Allar, was it not?
No. It would be five then.
Was Bo Nix on one of them?
How about Carson Beck?
Oh, that would have been another guess of mine. I don't know why.
No. Bo Nix had six, so he was just out. But how crazy is that, that Drew Allar is in the statistic with all of those other quarterbacks? We will go in a deep dive on Penn State today.
Well, he didn't throw the ball that much, and as much as some of those other guys that you brought up, except maybe J.J. McCarthy, Penn State's an enigma. They are in really good positioning. I won't elaborate right now. I will elaborate later. But their roster, their defense, oh my God, it got picked apart. Their offensive line, they lost a lot of very important players on that offensive line. So they're going to be a really big question mark that could end up having a dumb loss.
I don't think that you mentioned their biggest loss.
Who are you talking about?
Manny Diaz. I really don't think that people understand how big of a loss that is. So we'll talk on it. Here's the only thing, though, Joe. There are areas of this defense they got a lot of production returning, especially in that secondary.
Wait, you're saying they are returning production?
I mean, you look at it. Both of the top two leading tacklers are returning. Of the 12 interceptions that they,
their safeties are, but they're losing all three of their corners.
No, they have the Jalen Reed kid that's returning that played nickel, who led them in pass deflections last year. So I mean, it looks bad on surface, but then when you dig into it, you're like, oh, well, hold on a minute. Do they get better than 10-3 than what they were a year ago? Probably not. But no. I do think that there's one big thing that we'll discuss here that I think that they could get over the hump, but they got to have one big area of improvement. So not a lot of topics. okay, on today's show, but I think it's two massive topics that we got to get into here today as well. Let me make sure that we don't have any super chats. We do not. Chris H says, I got arrested for going the wrong way for or down a one way when I was 25, but I think that had more to do with the options I expressed to the officer about the job he was doing.
Sounds about right. I did the opposite. I was 19. I freaked the hell out. I just begged the guy to let me go. He did.
Blake Morgan says, Blake, you need to get Joe another LSU hat. I like your LSU hat. What's wrong with your LSU hat?
First of all, I do not need another one. Definitely do not need another one. And that's a cool one. I like this one. This is the only one I was willing to buy and then I've been willing to wear.
You know what hat you do need to go buy?
A melon hat.
Melon.com/AYS. Get 30% off of your order. By the way, 17 people sent me that they're either bought it or going to buy it. So I'm just saying it's the best hat on the market. And by the way, I would be remiss if I didn't bring this up. I know it's a college football show. It is one of the more better times of the year right now, Joe. I am currently in the studio watching the SEC tournament. Todd Walker on the call. Biceps out. Guns out. You know, I mean, the lady's got to be whistling at him, or it might just be the Vandy Whistler who's so annoying at the SEC tournament. So, nevertheless, I love this time of year. I got to be honest.
Yeah, I can't say I share the same sentiment. I do not watch college baseball one bit. I'm not going to pretend that I do.
I watch college hockey.
No, forget that. I'm watching Notre Dame lacrosse win another national championship game. Don't play by me with that. Dude,
literally nobody in the Southeast really knows
what. Cool, we're about to win another one.
You know what, the only thing that I know about lacrosse, they played it on the TV episode Teen Wolf.
You can actually hit people in lacrosse. You can't hit people in baseball.
Joe, you take a guy like Paul Skeens throwing the ball 102 miles an hour. Nothing that anybody doing in lacrosse is better than what we've seen from a guy like Paul Skeens.
Sure, but you still can't hit Paul Skeens. You still can't hit him.
Oh my God. Get in a fight with Paul Skeens and see what happens. By the way, two years or 18 months ago, just throwing this out there, Paul Skeens was flying fighter jets, saving America. I mean, he is the literal version of Captain America. He's sure. Dating Livy Dunn. I mean, sure. the man is quite honestly my superhero right now. Okay.
I don't share that same sentiment.
No, mine's Riley Leonard. Okay. All right. We got lots to discuss. Let's get to it. Everybody do us a favor by hitting the like and share. Share to all those groups. If you're on Facebook, share to all those social media pages. You're watching us, listen to us on YouTube. Like, subscribe, notification bell, wherever you listen to podcasts. Rate, review, and subscribe. Joe, let's talk about our good friends over at betonline.ag. We come back. We break down the Jaden Rashada news. We do that next. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events, with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag.
We're back.
All right. Let's get this thing rolling. Let's get this thing rolling, Joe. All right. Today, Jaden Rashada filed a lawsuit against Billy Napier and some other boosters that have ties to the University of Florida. We shouldn't say the University of Florida because they were not named in the lawsuit. Joe, I kick it over to you first, man. I mean, look, this has been something that we have discussed at a lot of length. We've had agreements. We've had disagreements, not just about Jaden Rashada, but also Nico Iamaleva. Okay, got it right that time.
Did you?
Yeah, I mean, I've listened to him six times, but I am Leva. That's how you spell it. I am a Leva.
I don't know if that's 100% right. Well,
I mean, that's how the English.
All right. It's not what we're here to talk about. We're talking about Rashada.
Nevertheless, Jaden Rashada has filed a lawsuit against Billy Napier and others. I kick it over to you first. A very open-ended question. Your thoughts on this Jaden Rashada thing?
Yeah, first of all, if any of these allegations are true, they're extremely damning to the character and the way that Billy Napier is running his program, and also letting individuals be associated with the program that have no business touching a college football team. Outside of that, and I am no legal expert, so we're not going to sit here and break down the legal side of things. I think that if this does come to fruition, this lawsuit does come through, and it's proven that Napier and these collective individuals did what they're allegedly being accused of doing, it is the final nail in the coffin for me why we need super strict guidelines for NIL between schools and whoever they might be signing these deals with. Because it's very clear that 19-year-olds, and it was depicted in this story how he was apparently offered a certain number by Miami, which was later denied by John Ruiz after the fact in LifeWallet. And then an even bigger amount was thrown in his face by the Florida boosters. That number never came along. That
number from Miami was 500,000, like not even remotely close to the 13 million that he's alleged that they said that they would give him.
But this is added proof for anyone who wants to say that a 19-year-old can make a right decision. When all this money is getting dangled in your face, you're going to let anybody coax you into doing it. And it's insane that how easily they got out of it. They just sent him a termination letter. If there's actual rules being upheld, these things don't happen. These kids are protected. They get the money that's owed to them. They're making decisions not just based on monetary values. There are a lot of things that need to come into place, which are probably years away. But that was the biggest thing, Blake, that stood out to me of more proof why kids need to get protected. Otherwise, they're going to continue to get scorned.
All right, let me break down just two things that I'm not going to say I disagree with you on, because I don't. Mm-hmm. But he did have an agent. Okay, the lawsuit definitely comes out and clarifies that he has an agent.
Okay.
He also has parents who allegedly recorded a conversation. I don't know who's on this recording. I'm not going to speculate who is on the recording, but definitely it would seem that the Rashadas were on this. I agree with you in reference to that this is very sleazy. You brought up the Dexter case in reference to Florida getting partial parts of his NFL contract and things like that. It is very sleazy. Okay, he should have never signed, though. Okay, like he should have been guided on not signing. I think that the liability to some extent does not need to fall just on Napier, but why would his agent say that? That's to you. That's not what I believe. I mean, like,
well, you have
an agent for a reason. Okay,
I'm not like, putting that on the agent, because everything
is in the lawsuit telling the kid that he needs to sign before Billy Napier moves on from him.
Yeah, but everything else seems like it seemed like it was kosher. Everything else seemed like it was normal for the agent to say, okay, this looks like it makes sense. They're offering this much money. This is a
no, in the deal. Lawsuit, I'm quoting here. Yeah. You better go ahead and sign before they move on from you.
Okay, but part of what was talked about here is that it looks like it's a normal deal. It looks like it's a completely normal NIL process. Okay, and then they sent him a termination letter.
Stop right there.
At the very end of it.
Stop right there. Then the agent is the biggest dumbass known to man, because there's nobody on the face of the planet that ever knew of a recruit getting $13 million over a four-year span.
Because NIL hasn't been around long. I saw somebody else have this take. NIL hasn't been around long enough for us to sit here and say that, like, why would they think that he would get this much money? It's never happened before. Joe, it's only been around for 2 years.
Joe, when you have that much money involved, you better have your I's dotted and your T's crossed. And you better not rush a kid on making a decision. Hey, you know what? If they really wanted you and this is on the table, here's why he rushed it. Can I tell you why he rushed it? Because I guarantee you he was going to get at least 10% of that, and he wanted that money. So he gave the kid bad information, so that he could get paid off of it. That's 1,000%.
Yeah, obviously, agents get paid off of deals. Okay. I mean, I've met agents who are involved in the NIL space, so like I understand how this stuff works. Like I know that is definitely a factor. He wanted to get paid.
The agent needs to be in the lawsuit too.
Just because he made a mistake does not mean that he's the one who's liable. He got bamboozled just as much as Rashad did.
Well, Billy Napier says hello too in reference to your comment. Now, let me just say this. I agree with what you're saying in reference to protecting players. I 1,000% agree. I'm not disagreeing with that at all. However, okay, I want to make it very well known that, and I'm not sticking up for Billy, okay? So don't take it. So hear me out for the complete before you don't interrupt me.
Okay.
This is alleged on one person's account. Okay. Billy Napier has not at this exact moment came out and defended himself. Do I think that all of this is pretty accurate? Yes, I do. I think that it is highly accurate that this is what happened. But I want to see how Billy and them react, because what we have done in the past is overreact to situations. Okay. And then later it comes out, well, that's not necessarily how it all went down. Here's the thing that I would say when it comes to Jaden Rashada specifically. Boy, do we need a third party to be able to investigate these things.
I get it. Yeah, the NCAA needs to be around and needs
I'm not saying the NCAA, but in every civilized civilization on planet Earth, okay, law and order happens. And when you take law and order away, regardless of how bad the law and order is, when you take the threat of that away, whether that be Nico Iamaivea and the national media going out there and saying, let's go, Tennessee. Go kill the NCAA. Things like this will happen because an investigation, Joe, Florida can't be investigated on this. Billy cannot be investigated on this. This is the wildest thing in all of it. By the way, I have a question. Can Billy now be fired with cause? So let me tell you my thought process on this. The NCAA came out and said in a court ruling that they cannot investigate NIL, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So then how can head coaches be fired with cause on NIL negotiations? This is what we call due process in reference to if one thing has been deemed the baseline of a contract or how NIL is a part, right? Then Billy Napier, like Florida, I see a lot of people out here saying, well, you know what? Billy probably can now. Florida can go after him and fire him for cause. No, they can't.
No. These things are not related. This is not a circumstance of, oh, Billy was paying kids. He's getting accused of fraud. He's getting accused of committing fraud with Jaden Rashada. Those are two very different issues. One's an NCAA thing that's not technically allowed by their bylaws.
Now,
you just
hit on the head in reference to fraud, which I agree with, which was where I was going to go with. In reference to Billy, Joe, he's a dead man walking. Because if his schedule's hard enough, I think that this is it for him. Okay, like this is the death nail in the coffin. There is no return on this. Joe, by miraculous Jesus coming down from heaven and giving him a manna that's in the shape of a playbook that leads them to a 10-3 season, he's cooked. He's a dead man walking. But I just want to make it very well known that I'm very intrigued to see how he responds and what he responds with. Now, to go into the case, Jaden Rashada and his camp came out and said that there were four different years that they laid out: $250,000 for the first year, $291,000 for the second year, $375,000 for the third year, and $195,000 for the fourth year. Florida came out with a statement. This is why I think this is the death knell. Florida came out with a statement and says, we do not comment on current litigation. However, Coach Napier and others named in the lawsuit are going to have to fight this. Basically, what they're saying is fight it on their own. Florida is distancing themselves from Billy Napier.
As they should.
As they should. Here's the only thing that I would say. If Billy did get the commitment from some of these people to pay this kid this amount of money and people walked away from it, I also feel bad for Billy.
I don't feel bad for him, man. I understand what you're saying, that you think
they might have
told him that they were going to be able to put up a number of dollars. He goes to the kids. This is a realistic possibility of what happened, that they told him that there was a certain amount of money. He went to the kid, and then suddenly that money wasn't there, and he was getting run around. But
bingo.
You were just talking about a second ago, though, about how the agent could be liable for not doing his due diligence. The same thing could be said for Billy Napier in this
100%.
He needs to have known where the money was coming from, and he needs to have known that he can't make offers.
Well, hold on now. I think that he did, because both parties, the boosters, are named in the lawsuit. So it sounds like everybody knew where the money was coming from.
Right. This is – when this all happened, it was a – I'm sure you remember it, but this was 20 – we had just started doing the show. That was
2022-ish.
Yeah, January 2022. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting shit on.
It was December 2022, because – they would have started paying him January of 23.
But I remember talking about it when we first started the show.
It was one of our first ever episodes.
I remember getting shit on by Florida fans for just covering it, for just talking about it, because we were making inaccuracies in covering it. But one of the things I remember at that time was that it was framed as if Billy had nothing to do with it. And it's kind of...
And he came out with a statement and said that he had nothing to do with it.
It says a lot that now suddenly he's involved with this lawsuit. I don't see a world where he doesn't get dragged into it at least a little bit. Yes. Well, the one party's the one who's alleging it.
Right. Now, here's the thing that I think is key. Don't ever tell me again that head coaches don't know how much players are getting paid and that they don't know what's going on in their program. It's the same thing that happened at Tennessee.
Jim Harbaugh.
Right. Correct. It was the whole Connor Stallions thing. Oh, they didn't know that it was going on. You can't convince me that Billy Napier and Josh Heupel didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. Now, I will say, I do think that this might be in the best interest for Florida, but I do question, okay, how all this is going to play out in reference to, like, look, man, is it a horrible, sleazy-looking business deal? Yes, it is. The truth is that this happens every day. And these lawsuits are fighting out. Here's what's going to happen. Can I tell you what's going to happen? They're going to settle, and this is going to be over with.
So if that does happen,
he's not getting $13 million,
right? Yes. The outcome of the lawsuit to me, and I kind of hinted at this at the beginning. The outcome of the lawsuit to me is not as important. What's most important here is what happens with Billy Napier, and I really think. Him just getting connected to this, and you talked about how there's signs already that the school is trying to distance themselves from him. I really think that there is a high likelihood that they do fire him with cause, because this is a serious allegation, fraud. We're not talking about Josh Heupel knew a kid was on an airplane. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about Pruitt putting money in bags and knowing that there was money in McDonald's bags. That's not what we're talking about. That's cheating based on rules. This is fraud, and Florida's in a position now. Forget even the severity of the allegation. We see all the time when schools are not happy with the way that guys are running programs, even though they might be doing well in recruiting, they will pull the plug very, very quickly. And the results on the field, I think it's for the first time since 1970 that they've had losing records in back-to-back years. Mm-hmm. The results have not been there. He has done nothing to buy himself time. The leash was already too short. For the school to associate themselves with this is only going to make it harder for them to recruit in the future, because it's just going to be something that is used as a negative recruiting tactic by other programs. Say, you really trust the money that you're getting from Florida? Florida does not want any ounce of this. I would bet that they want to separate
recruits talk, recruits families talk. Yeah, I mean, that's a big deal. Now, I will say it's interesting that they got DJ Lagway to commit, and I would assume he didn't go there for free, and I would assume that they paid him, okay? Now, here's the thing that I will say that I think could save Billy Napier holistically. Joe, in most NIL deals, you can walk, any party can walk away at any given moment, and that's why you send somebody a termination agreement, right? Joe, here's a big truth that people aren't going to agree with me, but later on, maybe a year, 2 years down the line, here's going to be a truth. They don't have to pay the kid. I know it looks sleazy. I know it looks shitty. Okay, but they sent him a termination agreement. And the truth be told, okay, Joe, there's going to be a lot of civil, legal battles that fight into this. But if you send a person a termination agreement that you don't want to work with them, Joe, you can't stop me from saying that, hey, I'm going to give you this. We sign a contract, and then I send you a termination agreement, and then I don't want you, and I want to be a part of this. That is civil law 101.
Okay, but this is why, and the settlement's going to come through, by the way, really soon. Like, this is potentially end of this week, beginning of next week, for us to have a framework, not new rules already set in place.
Versus the House.
The House case settlement, yes. One of the things that's brought up in this doesn't mean it's going to be immediately enacted. But to have in a House NIL where the schools pay kids directly, that's what we need. Because then the NCAA can police that. Because that they have legal basis for its existence. They have more involvement in that process. That can actually be policed and reported on, and requiring these schools to report on whatever these kids are making. That mm-hmm. stuff needs to be public. That's how all this gets fixed. Because right now what we're dealing with, and I do remember this is something you and I debated at one point, we're dealing with the fact that we don't know what's true. LifeWallet comes out and says there was no $9.5 million deal offered to Rashada.
And there wasn't.
But we don't know that to be certain.
Why like not? Why put in the lawsuit that they offered him $500,000 then?
Okay. But my look. All I'm trying to say here,
I'm saying is, if you're gonna say, okay, like LifeWallet, whatever. If they were offering him $9.5 million, mm-hmm. right? Why wouldn't if Rashada is gonna air out all of this dirty laundry? Why wouldn't he air out that dirty laundry too?
Because that's not his focus. You know, his focus is
no. It makes him more of a compelling case.
If you have one individual who's just crying wolf at everybody, then it's gonna. That was the interesting thing is the John Ruiz in his statement that he said. Go ahead.
If he's turning down $9.5 million, mm-hmm. it gives him more legal precedent of the case of going to get $13.5 million. Turning down $500,000 means nothing. It's too far of a thing here. It does nothing for him. But, so him putting the $500,000 in there actually hurts his case.
But back to my original point though, if he signs a contract, it's binding. He can't back out of it to then change his decision to go to Florida. Again, it's binding and then it's publicly recorded. That is how we avoid these issues, because now that there's going to be a muddled paper trail to try and prove these things, phone call recordings. This is going to be a very messy lawsuit. And then this is something that I think should be used by Charlie Baker and any decision makers for building out the framework of the future of college football to sit here and say, okay, look at this lawsuit. Look at how this is literally every single worst case scenario that could have gone wrong in an NIL deal for recruiting a kid to come to a school. We can point out these are the problems and this is what needs to be done differently. And I think the biggest thing is the transparency aspect of it.
I don't disagree. Now, one thing that you just said in reference to Charlie Baker using this, I don't know if Charlie Baker uses this, but what I do think that can happen, okay, is that this is the death knell in getting normalcy. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So, and I already think that we're trending in that direction without Jaden Rashada. Okay. But I do think that this can be the death knell. Let me say this before we move on here. I don't want to convict somebody before they've had their day to defend themselves. And I want to make sure that we talk. I talk about this too. Billy Napier has not been able to defend it.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Himself. And you do have a kid, quite honestly, that if I'm being honest, during the entire recruiting process, okay, went from school to school asking, and I'm just paraphrasing from things that I know. I'm not thinking that I know. On every visit, would walk into the building, ask how much money you're giving me, and if he didn't like the number, he would walk out. I know of two other SEC schools that he did that to. Okay, that's going to be brought up. And let me tell you this too now, they're going to smear the kid.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. So you're going to find out things about what this kid had done, what his parents have done, and what a lot of other people have done. He's not innocent in all of this. Now, the thing I would say, okay, now I don't know about the $1 million, you know, if you sign right now, whatever. So why, like, what's crazy about all of this to me is, okay, you have some people saying that they can report that there wasn't a contract and there was a contract and he was sent termination paperwork. This is why things are settled down in court. I just want to give Billy Napier a little bit of a benefit of the doubt, because we still are in a country that you're innocent until proven guilty. I will say, I don't think that this is remotely close to being over. I do think that there's going to be things that comes out here that puts Jaden Rashada in a bad light, and they better be prepared for it. Now, here's the thing. Is the juice for Jaden Rashada worth the squeeze?
As a recruit?
No. What do I mean by that? Is suing Billy Napier in Florida for money that you did not get, okay? Let's say he gets $2 million, okay, and the attorneys get 20 to 25%. Is it really worth everything that you're going through?
Yeah, because it what happened to him severely derailed his young adult life.
He's like, in all seriousness,
he's at Georgia right now, but he gets thrown into this fire where has to go to Arizona State. He could have been in a settled situation wherever he chose to go to school.
Florida?
Look,
as a parent, I'm going to tell you the truth. As a parent, when people start throwing those kinds of numbers around to my child or anybody, even to myself, I am going to do my due. Joe, you got to make this. It's not his decision alone.
I know, but not everybody's parents are. Not every parent is going to think through that stuff as.
No, everybody's money hungry, and they're showing to try to get the money out of them.
I think it's worth the squeeze. I mean, if somebody promises you money and you make a serious life decision based on it, and then you don't get it, yeah, I think it's.
All right, let me reframe the question. When you have a guy like Spencer Rattler who wouldn't get drafted, and NFL teams came out and said because of what he looked at, or how he acted as a 17-year-old on a Netflix series, if I'm an NFL owner or GM and say, well, hey, man, this kid sued Florida. Like, I mean, like.
Yeah, but it was also because he was extremely inconsistent on the field. If Jaden Rashada shows up and balls out and is good enough, that stuff will be foregone.
Shit.
It didn't affect Jaden Daniels. I mean, like in all seriousness. Daniels? Well, the stupid shit where none of it was real, but like the thing where he left and then everyone was like, why were his teammates bashing him for.
Oh, Joe, recording? That's a completely.
No. But all I'm saying here is that there's plenty of examples where people question a kid's character. I know that's completely.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Okay, fair.
There are a million times when guys try to. I'm not saying I question his character. I'm saying that others question people's characters. It doesn't always impact them. Jaden Daniels was good enough on the field that everybody completely forgot about that, didn't even think twice about it. I didn't even think about twice about it during the process. But Spencer Rattler, very inconsistent. No team wants to invest in a guy that they don't think is a high character player to be a backup quarterback. So that's what that happens there. I don't know if it impacts him. Same thing could be said for Bear Alexander, who's bounced around a million schools and has also been looking for money, not suing anybody. But that's something that's been brought up throughout this process.
I don't know, man. I will end this here. Something does not smell right to me. Let me tell you this. It does not. The Jaden Rashada lawsuit doesn't pass the smell test to me.
Like, I don't know. In what way?
I just don't know. Like, for example, why would you send somebody termination paperwork after all of this had fell through?
Nothing fell through. I think they were trying to pull a fast one on him. I think that they realized that they could. I would argue that what was brought up in the lawsuit, where one of the individuals who was paying was like, "Oh, well, the money's not actually going to be coming from me because I'm selling my business, so it's going to be coming from here." Like, that's all of that smells like fraud to me. And like, how does?
Well, I don't know.
Okay, but like all the. Running around in circles is typical fraud actions when you're just trying not to create fraud.
That's
confusion.
Not fraud. That's not. I'm sorry. It's not.
Wait. It led to fraud. It led to them suddenly not having money to pay him.
Yeah, but that's not fraud. If you sign a contract and I didn't pay you, okay. Like, for example, if I signed you to be my employee and I did not pay you, okay. But hold on. But you did not come. Okay, like you never came to my place of employment, which he never went to Florida. He never stepped foot on the campus. You know that, right? It's not.
I don't agree with that premise. I mean, What about this? You get offered a new job and they're telling you, we're going to offer you all this money. We're going to offer you this, and a signing bonus. You quit your job. You get ready for your first day and you're calling them like, hey, I'm ready to start next week. Where do I go? And then suddenly they're saying that there's an issue. And then suddenly they don't have the money to pay you. And they're pulling the rug out from underneath you.
You know what I would have done? Not quit my job until I had all my I's dotted and T's crossed.
It doesn't work like that with Jaden Rashada because he can't commit to two schools at the same time.
The fuck he can't? What do you mean he can't commit to two schools at the same time?
What? No one has been able to do that. What are you talking about?
I know for right fact that this past year that a five-star quarterback had committed to two schools and was whoever paid him the most money was going to go. He was going to go to that school.
That you can't sign an NLI for two schools. How about that? You can't sign.
I'm sure you can, but just you said committed. You didn't say sign on the dotted line.
You can't sign with two schools. He didn't have a previous school to go back to.
Fair.
This is gonna be a mess.
All right. You want to get to a commercial, then talk about Penn State. All right, let's talk about our good friends over at Home Field Apparel. Stay with us. We do a Penn State deep dive. We do that next.
Ruffino and Joe Show is brought to you by Home Field Apparel, which is the best, without a doubt, premium collegiate apparel brand that is out there. They have over 150 different colleges that you can choose from, whether you're an Illinois fan or a Rutgers fan. Maybe you're an LSU fan like Blake, or maybe you're an Alabama fan. Whatever it is, even Idaho, they have so many different designs for so many different football programs that I can guarantee you're going to find some great stuff to help root for your favorite team. I've already gotten my Notre Dame stuff. Blake has his LSU stuff. Make sure you head on over to homefieldapparel.com to check out your team's collection of clothing apparel that they have on the website. And when you do so, when you check out, make sure you use promo code RuffinoJoe to get 15% off your order. That is RuffinoRuffino RuffinoJoe. Head on over to homefieldapparel.com and get your college gear today.
I do that every time. I don't know what blue button it is. Something that Drew Aller won't be hearing next year in the first round. Nevertheless, Joe, we continue. Don't, when you post this clip, do not post that part, please.
No promises.
Please don't. It makes me look like an asshole. I was just trying to make a joke. It didn't land. All right. Joe, we continue on our path in doing deep dives. Now, just for the Penn State fans that don't know, we did this all last year. We have continued again this year doing deep dives on basically the top 30 teams in college football this upcoming season. Today, we land on Penn State. My good friend, I go to you first. Your thoughts on the Nittany Lions?
Yeah, this is a roster that relatively was picked apart over the offseason. They lost a lot of defensive talent to the draft. I'm talking about Chop Robinson, Adisa Isaac at their edge positions, Kalen King, Johnny Dixon, Daquan Hardy in their secondary, Hunter Norzad, Olu Fashanu from their offensive line, who were all conference players. And then in the transfer portal, they lost Keandre Lambert-Smith at receiver and King Mack. I'm optimistic knowing that Kotel Nekhi, who they brought in as offensive coordinator from Kansas, is going to get this run game popping with Catron Allen and Nick Singleton. I think that they're going to put up a ton of yards on the ground. But I am really freaking worried that last year we spent the whole season leading into the big games that they had. The one thing I kept bringing up, they do not have the weapons on the outside to move the football. And you know what? They still don't have the weapons on the outside to move the football.
You're not anything, a Julian Fleming fan?
He's fine. He hasn't really produced. I'm sure that he'll be a decent player, but their receiver room has regressed. Here's where things get weird, though. As skeptical as I am about their roster and a little bit worried that they're going to be weak at certain position groups, they don't have to encounter Ohio State or Michigan. They got a really freaking easy Big Ten schedule. I only have four games that actually cause fear for me, and there's a good chance that they win three of these four games. I'm talking about at West Virginia, at USC, at Wisconsin, and versus Washington. Mm-hmm. So there's a realistic shot here that they just end up going 10-2 again, go to the playoff with a weak team that doesn't really belong being there.
I wouldn't go that far, Joe, to say that they're weak.
They will be. They're, if they go 10-2, they're not weak. They're weak amongst the playoff field. There's going to be a team that gets left out that we could sit here and I promise you in December.
I'm not disagreeing.
We're going to be yelling about one team that didn't get in, and Penn State's going to be the 11th or 12th seed.
Who are the two teams you think they lose to?
Probably USC because it's a tough, it's just a far trip. And Wisconsin or West Virginia.
They would really lose to USC?
It's just a lot of travel. When was the last time they traveled that far? Except for the Rose Bowl.
I don't know. I think that you bring up an interesting point, but I mean, you legitimately have two running backs and Allen and Singleton that can run all over that defense. I mean, can USC stop them regardless of how far that they travel?
Yeah. I'm throwing that only out only off of like a total trip. That's it.
I got you. I agree with you on one massive point, okay, that I do think that their schedule is very favorable for them. And I do think it plays into that they, like, their floor, Joe, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I do think their floor might be 10-2. Like, I because of how favorable it is.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something, and I'm going to double down on something I said last offseason, but has Drew Aller got more consistent? Now, Joe, I will say that I do think that he actually is a pretty damn good decision maker. But we mentioned early in the show, he was one of five quarterbacks from in last year's college football that had over 300 passing attempts with less than five interceptions. Joe, he had 25 touchdowns, two interceptions. The games that they lost were games that he was missing dudes that were wide open. My question becomes, Joe, what if he – I'm not saying that he hits all those passes, okay? I'm not saying that. My question becomes, what if he hits half of the ones that he missed? What if he does become a little bit more consistent as the second year as a starter? Joe, I look at their secondary. Kevin Winston returns. Obviously, he's a junior. He was their leading tackler last year. Jalen Reed returns. Dennis Sutton had six sacks last year. Durant had two sacks, but 5.5 tackles for loss. 4.5 coming at the last four games of the season. They do have production returning. We could talk about so many things. I think their offensive line has questions, and I think that we need to talk about that. The question ultimately, though, comes for me. Joe, I do see pieces that can be worked with here. Am I saying that they're going to win the Big Ten? No, I'm not. I'm not saying that, and nor am I going there. I do think that they got to kind of prove it, you know, to people. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a bad way to put it, but maybe they do. Joe, if Drew Aller, what we've seen from young quarterbacks in the past that do have the talent, Joe, either he's going to be Joe Milton and he doesn't take a step forward, or Joe, now with a new offensive regime, can a new offensive regime take him to that next step? Now, I would remind people, okay, the two big games that he misperformed in, okay, were obviously the two biggest games on their schedule that he just did not look good in. I think Manny Diaz not being there is more of a bigger deal than Penn State fans are giving it, you know, I say credit for, but that they are realizing at the current moment. I think every bit of their success, every bit of where that they want to go, comes and falls on the shoulders of Drew Aller. But Joey's got to start throwing the ball down the field with more consistency. You say that they don't have weapons. Now, I went and looked this up today. Did you know of this? So he was a 60% completion percentage guy. Mm-hmm. Of a third of the passes that he missed, guys were covered. I think what PFF is saying here that he missed that were just not in the general direction. Drew, 67% of the receivers that he threw to that was not completed of that 60% or 40%, excuse me, 67% of guys were wide open. My question becomes, do they have the weapons and he's missing them?
No, I've watched enough. I had to watch enough Penn State film last year, and I don't.
Explain to me missing 67% of guys being open. Because that is a massive number.
Yeah, this is why I don't like cherry picking stat. This is why I don't like PFF that much, because like I think that it's easy to find those numbers and we can sit here and talk about that. Because
I'm not saying that they do have weapons. What I'm asking you is like, how is he missing that badly?
It was a lot of it comes down to the play calling, and that was why they made the change and why they moved on to a different offensive coordinator. You could tell that he was confused a lot in his decision making. He was one of those guys that was
having a lot of young quarterbacks.
Yeah, I what you're getting at here though with him, that was one of the things that I wrote down, is that it all comes down to like, what does Drew Aller do this upcoming year? Most of, if not all of his best games came against the weaker part of their schedule. And the only two like really crap your pants games that he had where he played poorly were Michigan and they were Ohio State. And he was pressured a ton. There weren't a lot of open guys for him to get the ball to. The play calling was really soft in those games. Mm-hmm. I think it makes me feel really good knowing that their schedule is going to be as easy as it is and that how well he played in those types of games. Like, he can replicate the games that he had against Illinois, against teams like Wisconsin and Washington and USC and West Virginia. This might be a year where he has an unbelievable season, and then he gets to the playoff and then doesn't play up to that expectation. He is going to have a much easier time, I think, just generally. And I also think that Kotelnicki hasn't really coached up a guy of Drew Aller's play style. Prabula, who's the backup, he's more experienced with working up with guys like that, which are mobile, Jalen Daniels, run the football, Jason Bean, you know, run the football type of guys. But I think that having someone as gifted as him offensively is going to help him so much.
I went back and watched the Ole Miss game today. Tyler Warren had 5 catches, 127 yards. You know, how much this, you know. So I do think when Aller was on, they had times where they could get dudes the ball. The question becomes here, and I understand that that's a bowl game. It is what it is. They do host Ohio State on November the 2nd. I don't think that they're a bad team. I still think that they're a very physical
team.
No,
they're nothing.
Here's my biggest complaint with them. I think they're exactly where they need to be based off of how they've recruited, how the state is, okay? And when it comes to recruits, Joe, they're just not a pro. I think they're exactly where they need to be. Now, do they want to take that next step? Yeah, well, you got to do other things to take that next step. I do think that James Franklin needs to get out of play calling. I think he's got to get his hands out of the offense. And I do think things would get better if he got his hands out of that offense. I 100% believe that it would. The question becomes, does he?
Well, how much? I mean, I don't know.
Joe, we have footage of him with play sheets on the sidelines well before they fired their OC. So my question becomes, Joe, you know what's crazy about all of this? Like, man, he's had his hands in this offense for a long time, and things haven't remotely changed. Schematically, Joe, they're not vastly different than what they've been under him his entire regime.
Well, this is where Kotelnicki comes into play, because he is the complete opposite of everything that they've done. Complete opposite of everything.
You're about to find out who's really going to be calling plays and have their hands on things.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, the big thing here is, I'm not saying that they're bad. Absolutely, I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying that this is going to be a doomsday type season. They are exactly where I always expect them to be. They don't have a Saquon Barkley or a Chris Godwin. They don't have an elite offensive player that is going to help them take a step forward. They just don't. That's what I feel like in the years that they've been a little bit more successful than being a 3-loss team is that they had something to rely on. And Nick Singleton and Catron Allen can be those guys, especially Nick Singleton. I just really don't totally know if they're going to get that out of them, especially with a bit of a reworked offensive line. Again, we might not really find out how good this team is until January. That's the reality that we have.
Well, you definitely won't find out how good this team is really until November the 2nd when they play Ohio State.
Wait, do they play Ohio State?
Yeah, November the 2nd.
Why did I miss that when I wrote down their schedule?
I don't know. But I must have missed it too, but we got corrected in the chat.
Oh, they do play Ohio State. I forgot to write that down. All right, well, they still lose to them.
You know what's interesting, though? Their new OC, and there's a reason I'm not trying to attempt Kotelnicki's name here. Here's the thing that I would push back just a little in reference to their offensive line. Okay? He was a center at Wisconsin Whitewater. All right? And when all...
Morzad?
Who
are you talking about?
Kotelnicki.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, was a center, yes. And dude, that Kansas O-line was not that bad. And that's a position group that he vehemently had his hands on. I agree with you in the sense of they have pieces that they have to replace. If my man can do it at Kansas, he can do it at Penn State.
Yeah, but it's a different animal.
I'm not saying it's not a different animal, but you can't. But Joe, what you can't do is say that kids at one school develop and that kids at another won't because he's not because it's different. The level of development might not be as high because he's playing vastly different opponents. Joe, the guy's been pretty well known as an offensive line guru, though.
Look, I like what he does, and I'm a big fan of him. But at the same time, Kotelnicki also relies on, one, the fact that they're going up against defensive lines that are not as big as some of the other conferences, not as big as the SEC and the Big Ten. But also, the whole offense was predicated on spreading things out and getting the ball out quickly. I don't know if that works in the Big Ten, or if they had to play an SEC team in the playoff. I don't think it does. And I think the perfect example, I understand that Bean stepped in that game, but when they played Texas, Kansas got punched in the mouth along the line of scrimmage. That whole line struggled that day. They had a lot of problems in the whole second half. They couldn't really move the ball as easily because of that defensive line kicking their ass. So I just have a little pause on assuming that he's going to get that offensive line right.
Oh, I didn't say that they were going to be elite.
Yeah.
I just said that they're going to develop. All right. Well, look, I'm going to make a bold statement before we wrap this up. Mm-hmm. I think Drew Aller takes the next step. I really do. I'm going to be funny here because I'm going to use something that you say. I do like the kid's traits. I do. And you know how much more than traits that I love more than anything. I really do love his decision making. When I say that, people are like, oh, Blake, what are you talking about? His decision-making? Yeah. When you have that many passing attempts and two interceptions, I don't care if he's dinking and dunking all over the place. He can make right decisions. And for a young I can work with a kid that makes right decisions. He does have the traits and right decision-making. The question becomes, yo, does he take that next step? If he does, they can be better than what people expect them to be.
Yeah, it all comes down to Allar. Enough said.
100%. Well, look, I doubled down. I admitted last year when I was wrong. I really
liked it at the time.
Well, I like the kid's decision making. And I will take a kid in college that makes right decisions over a kid with traits any day.
Sure.
Any day. Question is, sometimes he throwing that bitch like his name's Brucey from The Longest Yard. Hit me, and it goes over here. You know, like you can't have that happen. Another thing, his footwork's got to get better. If his footwork gets better, yeah, then it might be over.
Yeah, he was a technical mess, and I think that led to
very technical
a lot of his problems.
All right. SEC baseball tourney. LSU won today, by the way.
Don't
let our Tigers get hot. And I say our Tigers.
Not because of me. I'm not. I have no association.
You're wearing the hat, man. It's like, nope, you lost a bet or something.
Nope. Well, yes, I did lose a bet.
I did have somebody send me an email, a very vicious email I didn't tell you about.
Wait, what?
This is from Nancy.
Oh, no. It's always a Nancy.
It's a Nancy. Nancy sends in an email to AYS and says, Blake, I think you have let Joe, I'm paraphrasing pretty much, but Blake, I think you have let Joe, basically, it's kind of badly typed. Basically, what Nancy is trying to say here is that maybe it's time for you to relinquish the hat that I have, I'm quoting
here. Is it making you guys look bad?
No, that I have punished you too harshly by making you go all the way to all season, and that if the fans allow you to take the hat off, that you can.
Nancy, I think you're the only one advocating for that, sadly. If I don't wear the hat, it gets brought up in the chat every single time.
She did put at the end, this is the last sentence from Nancy, Blake, comma, don't be a Rudy Poo. And she spelled Rudy Poo, R-O-O-T-I-E-P-O-O-O-O.
I was expecting it to be a lot meaner, the way that you framed it.
It's pretty mean. There are other things that she says about me in there.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, it's always got to be a name, man.
Well, I'm glad that Nancy's got my back, man.
All right. We'll see y'all soon. Y'all have a good one. Peace.
This is the story of the one.
As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.